Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the November 3rd special meeting of the San Diego Housing Commission. Looks like we have a quorum here of commissioners present. Let me just set some rules of engagement, if I could, before we get started. If you wish to address the commission on a non-agenda item, I ask that you please fill out a white speaker slip. Those in favor of speaking on the item that we have before us today, I'd ask that you fill out the yellow form. Those opposed will fill out, please, the pink forms. And we'll go from there on with those rules of engagement. I know that we have extra room in the kitchen, overflow room, in the event that there's people that cannot find a seat here with us today. So with that, let me call the meeting to order. And on non-agenda public comment, let me start off with, and again, folks, what I'm going to do is, given the amount of speakers that we have here before us today, I'm going to ask that we limit your comments here to 1 minute. So let's start off with Ms. Martha Welsh. Martha?
Martha, I'm here to talk the rules we have in San Diego housing. AMI is very mean. I've seen it in Acton and Poticker. And I know what goes on. Section 8 is also, the manager goes to that, as popularity. Why do I have a video for this meeting? I think that's bound to tell you that rules should have a video also. All you build right now are studios, one-bedroom Cypress, Talent, also one-bedrooms that, and also Cypress, Celadon, also one building in studios only. That's all you build. What about families? I don't know what to do. The video you showed us had four people in a one-bedroom with a twin bed. I think that's very mean also. So this is what we do. The old library is in the Civic right now, and it's going down. It's being poor condition. We can't use that, but it'd be good for wraparound and everything you want to talk about. That you could use that. But I don't know what's going to happen to the old library. But this is so mean what you do with AMI. Where does the money come from? How do you figure the income? I don't know. It's something that's a mystery, but you use it as a gate to get in if you can pay the rent. But you can't get in because that. I see right now all you do with have these is going up higher and higher all the time. And if it's 30%, if you rent those, the other one just say empty? I don't know what you're doing with this because it's the only county that does this in the whole state.
Thank you, Ms. Welsh. Michael McConnell, please. Up next will be Suzanne Morse.
Hi, my name is Michael McConnell. I'm a member of Funders Together to End Homelessness. I also work on committees under the Regional Task Force on the Homeless that have focused on system modeling, data analysis, and resource allocation for our $18 million that we receive in the COC program. I was on the leadership team of the 25 Cities Initiative, where over the last 5 years we've reduced veteran homelessness by 40% without adding any shelter beds. And I just really want to come here to thank the Housing Commission for their past efforts to focus on permanent housing as real solutions. And if we could have gotten maybe the other entities within the county to also focus on permanent housing as real solutions to homelessness, we might not have been in the same hepatitis A crisis. So I want to thank you, and I want to encourage you to continue focusing on permanent housing as a real solution and not a Band-Aid for the homelessness crisis and, of course, the hepatitis A crisis that is not only ravaging San Diego County, but is now spread to other cities in California and across the country. So thank you, and look forward to the rest of the conversation.
Thank you, Mr. McConnell. Ms. Morse, and up next will be Martha Sullivan. Ms. Suzanne Morse?
Yes.
Thank you.
Somebody wants to take them?
Go right ahead.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Suzanne Morse, and I've been talking in front of a lot of the city council about the homeless situation. I have been saying over and over again that we need actually safe camps and safe parks for the homeless. We have many empty spaces that are going down in not being used. We have now Chargers Park. We have Johnny B's downtown. There are so many places that we could do safe camp and safe parks. I'm encouraging you that for a temporary solution to consider that and make the money more well spent on allowing people to have tents and cabins and sleep in their cars. Thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne. Martha Sullivan, and up next will be Danielle Beeman.
Good morning. My name is Martha Sullivan. I'm here representing Women Occupy San Diego. I just passed around an article that was published last month comparing, and not favorably, well, in some ways favorably, saying San Diego may be the next Flint, Michigan. And it refers to the failure of government. We started carrying these signs up at City Hall back in May, and this came out just last month. So this is, you know, our idea back in May has spread. I came to the audit committee yesterday. It was the first meeting I'd ever come to at the Housing Commission. The focus on the financial statements, I understand you have to do that. The lack of any performance audit is shocking, and it's reflected in the lack of progress that this city and this county have made on reducing homelessness. And Women Occupy believes in holding our government officials accountable. And so we will be adding you to our list. We're going to be attending meetings, and we are going to hold you accountable.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Sullivan. Appreciate that, Mr. Daniel Beeman. And up next will be Melinda Vasquez.
Hello. Thank you very much for having the meeting. What I want to speak about today is I'm concerned about the sunsetting of the housing impact fees. Now, a few years ago, about 3-4 years ago, we made a major discussion of why the fees were so low. And because we don't have the housing, and we didn't have the housing back then, and we have even worse situation now. And I'm afraid that we're going to let this go. I haven't heard anything about it, and it's in 3 months that it will sunset. So I would like to know more. I'd like to have more put out there. I know media is here today, and I'd like to make sure that we some way find out how we can get it beyond 1990, but to 2019. Let's look forward. Let's go to the, you know, 2020, like the mayor used to do before, what he wanted to do. So I think we really need to do this. We are behind by tens of thousands of housing units. The majority of them that we need are for very low and low income people. Yet higher income housing is what's being developed. But this could be a win-win situation, because when you build higher income housing, you get a higher HIF. That means more money that we can put in the stock to get something. But the main thing we really have to look for when we look in affordable housing, is that we have it lower rate per square foot, dollar per square foot, than what is currently available. Because we're not getting richer.
Thank you, Mr.
And we need to go backwards.
Appreciate your comments, sir. Melinda Vasquez, and up next will be Sarah Marvale. Ms. Vasquez, welcome.
Hi, thank you. My name is Melinda Vasquez. I'm here with Our Lady of Mount Carmel in an effort to preserve PQ Village Apartments. I am concerned because San Diego County is going to fail to meet its requirement of its allotted affordable housing units by 2020, and we're at negative 3,600 units. However, PQ Village currently has 332 units that are, for all intents and purposes, naturally affordable. And this commission has an abundance of $278 million that they could use in order to purchase the land and preserve the 332 units. Now, this being fiscally conservative means that it's cheaper to preserve existing affordable housing units than it does to create new ones. And PQ Village, Peñasquito's in general, is overpopulated or has maxed out as far as any kind of developments are concerned. And quite frankly, if you look at and respect the intent of Rancho Penasquitos residents and the community plan that's been in existence since 1975, we've preserved the very area for low to moderate income housing. And instead, the developer and the owner, who is the same owner who rebuilt and left us with a negative loss in affordable housing units with Cresta Bella, where we went from 248 units to 57, is now proposing that we go from 332 units to 332 units affordable housing to 28 units, which is what he proposed in his plan. So it's incumbent, it's your responsibility as the San Diego Housing Commission to know that these type of HUD liens are expiring and take the initiative in order to purchase the existing property so that we can preserve affordable housing, especially considering that we are not going to be able to meet our goal of 2020 at this point. So I urge you guys to use the $247 million that you have in excess funds and make sure that we preserve PQ Village Apartments.
Thank you, Ms. Vasquez. I think it's appropriate while Ms. Sarah Marvell approaches that I set the record straight. Unfortunately, there's been some erroneous media coverage on what the commission's reserves are, and we will be addressing that accordingly. But let's continue with testimony. Ms. Marvell, welcome.
My name is Sarah Marielli. I'm a resident.
I'm sorry for mispronouncing your name.
Sarah, you're fine. I'm a resident at the Penasquitos Village. They're going to demolish the 332 units, and right now it is extremely, extremely hard to find a place to move to. The waiting list is just enormous. Right now I'm in fear of becoming homeless. So we would like to know why, at least the San Diego Housing Commission, why couldn't they preserve this place so that affordable housing just doesn't disappear? Because I'm in fear that that's what's going to happen. And right now, also the resident there, they're in fear of becoming homeless, too. So my concern is just, please, we need to preserve affordable housing. Thank you.
Thank you for testifying this morning. And Josie Rodriguez.
Jose.
Yeah. Okay.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Thank you all for being here so early. My name is Jose Rodriguez. I am an organizer with the San Diego Organizing Project, a nonprofit organization which organizes at churches. And we organize at Our Lady of Mount Carmel Church up in Rancho Penasquitos, just a block away from Penasquitos Village. And, you know, in case all of you aren't familiar with the issue, 332 already existing, what we call naturally affordable units, are going to disappear. They're going to disappear. And this is what's happened in San Diego over and over and over again, that has led to the crisis that we have now, the homelessness crisis that we have now, the crisis of cars being parked in front of the church every day because they have nowhere else to go. These are families that are working and trying to get by. There's not enough housing. So I know that there's been erroneous numbers that have been thrown around at that UT article, but we want to know how much money is sitting there and if that money could be used to purchase already existing property and develop more on that site. I haven't organized at a place where there's residents saying, we want more affordable housing. This is an exception in Rancho Penasquitos. PQ Village residents and the church and the parishioners have actually come out and said, we want more affordable housing units built on site. Why is the Housing Commission not doing enough? We had a meeting yesterday with 100 residents at the church. So many got up and told their story and their testimony. And they said, I am scared to be homeless because I have nowhere to go. Where am I going to go? And so I urge the commission to consider to use the funds in an appropriate manner to actually prevent homelessness from occurring. Thank you.
Thank you, Jose. I appreciate that. Last speaker on a non-agenda item is Catherine Rhodes. Ms. Catherine Rhodes. Folks, as soon as we hear from, once we conclude this part, we will go into the staff report. Then we will get into those wishing to speak for and against the item. Ms. Rhodes, welcome.
Thank you. Hi. I actually wanted to talk about the UT report also, which is great. This is something that I've been bringing to the UT for a long time, and they confirmed what I confirmed, that you guys are sitting on a lot of money. for an example of something different from what the UT said. Yes, last year for fiscal year 2017, your housing trust fund budget was $45 million, but you only used $4 million of it. Plus, you got additional revenue that came in, so you actually had $64 million available, but you only spend again four. So you spent 6% of your budget, and you hoarded 94%, and still kind of try to pretend that you guys are poor when you guys are cash rich. Another issue that I don't think anybody talked about, or what I found pretty interesting, is the S&P report you got when you guys got your AA rating. I believe it was in April. And in that report, it says that you guys are not maximizing your use of funds. They actually called you guys vulnerable. And the reason for the vulnerability is because you have a lot of cash sitting on hand that could be used for the homeless. You guys have enough cash on, and then my other big, huge issue with the San Diego Housing Commission is that you guys don't take ownership of the successor agency assets and the low moderate income housing fund, where in council policy, you guys are actually in charge of the low moderate income housing fund.
If you could wrap up, please, and we will. I'll make sure that you get your responses to your points here, because this is really important.
Correct, and so the or the affordable housing fund. I forgot what I was going to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, very good, folks. So those are the testimony from the non-agenda items from the, in today's meeting. Let's go on to any commissioner comments prior to going on to the CEO comments and then staff. Hearing none, Mr. Gentry? Very good. Well, Ms. Peterman, Mr. Davis, you have the floor.
Good morning, Chair Tassin and members of the board. I'm Jeff Davis, Executive Vice President and Chief of Staff for the San Diego Housing Commission. With me is Melissa Peterman, Vice President of the Homeless Housing Innovations Department. This program that we are presenting proposed new temporary bridge shelter programs for individuals experiencing homelessness in our city. Bridge shelters are a new type of housing options in the city. This type of housing is safe and temporary. It includes basic services such as restrooms and meals, as well as services to support homeless individuals or families to access permanent housing as quickly as possible. What makes Bridge Housing unique is its focus on providing temporary housing for homeless individuals and families who are enrolled in a permanent housing program but are currently waiting for the opportunity to move into a permanent housing unit. If approved, the temporary bridge shelter programs before you for consideration today will provide a total of 700 beds at three sites. 350 beds at the Newton site operated by Alpha Project, 200 at the Navy site operated by Veterans Village of San Diego, and 150 beds at the Penske site operated by Father Joe's Villages. These temporary bridge shelter programs will offer centralized locations for people experiencing homelessness to access prevention, housing, and additional services they need. They will operate initially for a seven-month term from December 1st, 2017 through June 30th, 2018. And there additionally will be options to renew these contracts for all of fiscal year 2019 and for the first half of fiscal year 2020. These programs will offer homeless individuals and families a safe place to receive bridge housing, emergency shelter, and appropriate services as they prepare for permanent housing with the Housing First model of addressing homelessness. The Housing First model is to provide housing to homeless individuals as quickly as possible with the supportive services as needed. These programs will also contribute to the regional goal of ensuring that instances of homelessness are rare, brief, and non-reoccurring. It is important to keep in mind that these temporary bridge shelter programs are different than the emergency winter shelter programs the city provided from 1986 to 2015. The city's emergency winter shelters provided a safe environment during inclement weather with minimal services. The city of San Diego previously provided temporary emergency shelter tents during the winter months for homeless San Diegans in two sprung structures, the City Adult Emergency Winter Shelter in the Barrio Logan neighborhood, and the Veteran Emergency Winter Shelter in the Midway District. On May 24, 2015, the City Council approved replacing the winter tents with a year-round interim housing facility for homeless San Diegans at the facility operated by Father Joe's Villages at its downtown campus. The year-round interim housing program provides the same number of beds, 350, on a year-round basis that were offered by both temporary structures. We know, though, however, that the rate of homelessness in San Diego certainly has continued to increase. The Bridge Shelter programs will provide more beds and, importantly, more services than the emergency winter shelters and will have a focus on moving homeless San Diegans into permanent housing. The San Diego County Public Health Officer declared a local public health emergency on September 1st, 2017, due to the ongoing hepatitis A virus outbreak in the county, which primarily impacted homeless San Diegans. The County Board of Supervisors ratified this declaration on September 6, 2017, and will continue to do so every 2 weeks until the declaration is rescinded. On September 13, 2017, San Diego Mayor Kevin Faulkner was joined by elected officials and community leaders to announce the creation of the three new temporary bridge shelter programs to address homelessness in the city and to combat the regional hepatitis A outbreak. In addition, on October 2, 2017, the City Council renewed its declaration of a shelter crisis in the city due to the increased rates of homelessness and the decreased supply of housing. More than 9,000 individuals experience homelessness in the San Diego region on any given night. This is according to the 2017 point-in-time count. That count also found that more than 5,600 homeless individuals spend the night homeless within the city limits. And of these, more than 3,200 are without shelter. The temporary bridge shelter programs will assist the response to the hepatitis A outbreak by providing hygiene kits to shelter residents and supporting the county's vaccination, education, and sanitation efforts in centralized locations for the homeless. I will now turn the presentation over to Melissa to walk you through some of the details of the proposed shelter programs.
Thank you, Jeff, and good morning, Commissioners. The Housing Commission, as I'm sure you are aware, administers the city's homeless shelters and services programs based on an MOU with the city that first took effect in July of 2010. Without a safe and stable place to escape the elements, unsheltered homeless individuals are vulnerable to risks for health, safety, and welfare-related consequences associated with living outside. Currently, our community does not have enough beds to fully meet the shelter needs within the city, which, as Jeff mentioned, formed the basis for the council's renewal of the shelter crisis declaration. By declaring a shelter crisis, the city is better able to address the shelter needs of the homeless population through such programs as the proposed temporary bridge shelter programs today. The shelter crisis declaration has informed the types of services that will be provided at each of the proposed temporary bridge shelter sites. In addition to the shelter beds, major components of the program include 24-hour residential services, such as monitors and shelter coordinators to meet resident needs, housing navigation staff to assist residents in finding and accessing safe permanent housing, coordinated street outreach teams to engage face-to-face with people experiencing unsheltered homelessness, and partnerships with local agencies, such as the County Health and Human Services Agency, as well as 24-hour security to maintain health and safety at each site. One of the newest elements with the proposed temporary shelter programs is the partnership with the Regional Task Force on the Homeless to align the program service delivery with the community plan to create a homeless crisis response system. This includes prioritized intakes using the coordinated entry system. Operators of the three shelters will work with the Regional Task Force to refer potential residents from their primary target populations, adults, veterans, and families with children, based on prioritization categories. Each category calls for the individual or family to have a score from the VI-SPADAT, Vulnerability Index Service Prioritization Decision Assistance Tool. This tool helps identify homeless individuals and families who are the most vulnerable and the most appropriate housing options for them. There are four prioritization categories for the temporary shelter programs. Top priority will be given to households who are unit ready. This means those who have a VI SPDAT score, are matched to a permanent housing subsidy in the coordinated entry system, and are looking for a permanent housing unit. If attempts to refer individuals meeting the unit ready criteria have been made, but shelter opportunities remain available, referrals to priority level 2 or match ready households can be made. These households have a VI SPDAT score, are permanent housing match ready as defined by the regional task force, and are waiting to be matched to a permanent housing subsidy. Similarly, if attempts to refer individuals from the above two categories are made, but shelter opportunities remain available, the operators can refer households from the third prioritization level or those who are navigation ready. These households have a VI SPDAT score and are working with a housing navigator to become permanent housing match ready. And finally, after attempts are made to refer households from the above three categories, the shelter operators can refer priority level 4 or assessment ready households into the programs. Households meeting this criteria have a VI SPDAT score. And by incorporating the temporary shelter programs into the coordinated entry system, we are better aligning available resources within the community and targeting those most in need of assistance. The sites at which the temporary shelters will be located were determined by the City of San Diego. Within the initial 7-month contract term, the operators of the shelter programs will be required by their contracts to conduct community engagement for these programs. Alpha Project, VVSD, and Father Joe's will host or attend at least 2 neighborhood forums in the respective community the shelter is located in. They are also committed to provide ample opportunity for community members to submit written feedback. These program operations will demonstrate that they have reviewed the community feedback that they receive and incorporated it into their operation plans as appropriate. And in addition, they will report back to the Housing Commission on their efforts in this area.
So at a minimum, these temporary bridge shelter programs are expected to provide immediate relief to those who are experiencing unsheltered homelessness and to, importantly, mitigate the impact of the hepatitis A outbreak. However, it is equally critical that the residents of these programs be offered and connected to opportunities for permanent housing. In alignment with evidence-based practices and policies set by the federal and state government, the Housing Commission's homelessness programs are deeply rooted in the National Housing First model. And these models reduce the cost burden to taxpayers for services such as jails and emergency room visits, and lightens the pressure on distressed systems of care, such as public safety. The Housing Commission has set baseline outcomes for each of the temporary bridge shelter programs. These include low barriers to entry for 100% of the residents, and the goal that the length of stay be 120 days or less. So as previously mentioned, bridge housing is new to the city. The Regional Task Force on the Homeless recently released a community standards report. This was released in May. And in that report, it stated that performance measurements for outcomes for this type of housing, namely bridge housing, quote, will be determined as aggregate data becomes available, end quote. In line with this recommendation and to ensure that we are holding the operators to the highest and most realistically attainable standards, the Housing Commission will engage a third-party evaluator during the fiscal year 2018 to evaluate the data for each of the new programs and then provide recommendations for alignment with Housing First principles and establish appropriate exit outcomes. Under the terms of their draft contracts, the operators of the temporary bridge shelter programs have agreed to implement the recommendations received. Positive exits from this program will be considered only those individuals and families moving into permanent housing. Proposed funding and uses approved by this action were not included in the fiscal year 2018 Housing Commission budget. Given the state of emergency for homelessness and the hepatitis A outbreak, circumstances have changed since the budget was approved. Approving this action will authorize the Housing Commission to expend $6.5 million in funds previously allocated to develop new permanent supportive housing through the Housing Commission's Housing for San Diego Homeless Action Plan. The City of San Diego has committed to make up the gap by funding permanent housing priorities from other sources to ensure that Housing for San Diego Homelessness Action Plan does not lack in resources for permanent housing solutions. Currently, however, 100% of the funds needed to support the three temporary bridge shelter programs will be provided by the Housing Commission. These dollars amount to what is their budgeted expenses for each of the bridge shelter programs. We want you to be assured that before the Housing Commission expends funds to reimburse the program operators for their actual expenses, all expenses will be reviewed for reasonableness and to ensure that they are included in the scope of work. The proposed contingency fund will enable the Housing Commission to cover additional potential costs, such as more frequent cleaning of facilities, should that be needed, or unexpected events that might occur. With the city funding permanent housing solutions that would have been funded by Housing Commission funds that are now going to the critical bridge shelter programs, our efforts to create additional permanent supportive housing will not be impacted. On August 1st, 2017, the Housing Commission released a notice of funding availability for $10 million in development funds and up to 325 federal rental housing vouchers to create permanent supportive housing units through Housing for San Diego. We have already received a number of applications, and we will be able to award funds and vouchers accordingly. The new units created with these resources will be in addition to new permanent supportive housing units that have been funded in the first 3 years of Housing for San Diego 2014 through 2017. Two developments with a total of 121 units already have completed construction and opened, Talmadge Gateway and Cypress Apartments, and within the next 2 years, we anticipate completion of construction of 490 additional permanent supportive housing units, as shown on this slide.
And that brings us to the requested actions. Today, we are requesting the Housing Commission to recommend the Housing Authority take the following actions. Authorize the Commission President and CEO to sign a Memorandum of Understanding with the City with the Housing Commission to oversee, administer, and manage the three temporary shelter programs. Authorize the President and CEO to sign agreements between the Housing Commission and the identified nonprofit organizations for the operation of the temporary shelter programs with options to renew. Authorize the President and CEO to reallocate and expend up to $6.5 million previously allocated to Housing for San Diego, instead in support of the temporary bridge shelter programs. Authorize the President and CEO to establish a contingency fund not to exceed 10% of the total costs of the shelter programs for a maximum contingency of $653,000. Authorize the President and CEO to sign any documents and perform other acts necessary to implement these approvals. Authorize the President and CEO to substitute any other available funds, including Housing Commission funds, in place of the approved funding sources, contingent upon their availability. We're also asking the Housing Commission to recommend the City Council take the following actions. Approve execution of an MOU between the City and the Housing Commission for oversight of the three temporary shelter programs. Authorize the expansion of the uses of funds currently referenced within City Council resolutions to allow the use of funds for the temporary shelter programs. And this City Council resolution previously authorized the use of funds for Housing for San Diego. Approval of the recommended actions today would allow the Housing Commission time to execute agreements with the operators prior to the anticipated start date of the shelter programs, which is December 1st, 2017.
With us today is leadership from each of our partner organizations. We have Amy Gagne from Alpha Project, Andre Simpson from VVSD, and Deacon Jim Vargas from Father Joe's Villages, and they are here to help answer any questions you have. These bridge shelter programs are an important new option to address the immediate shelter needs of 700 homeless San Diegans at a time. Additionally, the shelters will also provide an important tool in addressing the Hep A outbreak occurring in our city. These temporary shelter programs complement the Housing First model by providing the additional capacity that is needed up front to help homeless San Diegans start on the path to permanent housing. This concludes our presentation, and we are happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. Ms. Peterman? Commissioners, any questions of staff before I open it up to public comment? Hearing none, let me just deviate. Normally, I would be calling the representatives from government officials that are here today, but I would call up Mr. David Malcolm first, who is representing himself, as well as Father Joe, to make some comments. Mr. Malcolm, welcome.
Is that it? Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Mr. Gentry. I'm David Malcolm. I am speaking on behalf of both myself and Father Joe Carroll. As many of you know, Father Joe has had both his legs amputated and recently had surgery, so he couldn't be here today. I feel somewhat uniquely qualified because I've spent 35 years as a close confidant to Father Joe, 30 years on his executive board, and many, many years as chairman of that organization. One of the things your staff left out that I think is very, very important is this is a great public-private partnership with the leadership of Dan Shea and Peter Seidler, putting up some figures of money, a lot of donations from the widow's mite to large donations. You're able to team with the private sector to be able to get a bigger bang for your buck out of this, and I think that that's important. I'm here. You know the pros and cons. You're going to hear them again. I don't need to tell you about them. There is no silver bullet. There is no one solution. There is no fairy dust. This is a small step and part of what needs to be done in a comprehensive approach to addressing our problem here in San Diego. I appreciate your time. I appreciate what you do. And I will tell you, being on former commissions, hearing that we have money in the bank and people not knowing that you have projects that take years and that you're funding and you put aside money is very frustrating. So I felt like I was brought back in time of hearing the same stories that you guys have extra money. There is no such thing as extra money. Thank you very much.
Appreciate your comments, Mr. Malcolm. At this point, I'd like to call up either representing the mayor of San Diego, either Mr. Jonathan Herrera, or I see Mr. David Graham here as well. Gentlemen, whoever wants to testify, or both, you're welcome to. Mr. Herrera, welcome.
Good morning, Chairman Ertas and members of the board. Appreciate the opportunity on behalf of Mayor Faulkner to be here and speak in support of this incredibly important initiative. The item before you and the speed by which we've been able to put this together with our partners, both the Housing Commission and the three service providers, is unprecedented. And I think it's really reflective of the unprecedented crisis that we see on our streets. And there's no sugarcoating it. We are in a crisis in terms of homelessness and a crisis in terms of public safety. So I urge you today to support this action item. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Herrera. I appreciate your comments. Okay, very well. And then let's move on to the next speaker, representing the 4th District of the County of San Diego representing Supervisor Ron Roberts, is Mr. Sal Giammetta. Mr. Giammetta, welcome.
Good morning, Chairman Ertasin, members of the board, Mr. Gentry, and Housing Commission staff. Sal Giammetta with County Supervisor Ron Roberts' office. Thank you for the opportunity to address you today. Regrettably, Supervisor Roberts could not join you as he's down the street chairing the SANDAG Board of Directors meeting, but given the strong partnership between the county, the Housing Commission, the City of San Diego, Mayor Faulkner, on this very important item before you this morning, he has asked me to represent him. Earlier, I distributed a letter to each of the commissioners through the clerk, and for the benefit of those in the audience, thank you for allowing me to read the letter into the record.
Thank you.
Dear Chairman Ertasin, while my personal support of Housing First as the right model to address homelessness remains unwavering, San Diego is in the midst of a local health emergency linked to a disease outbreak that is targeting the unsheltered. The tent proposal being considered today includes the showers, sinks, and bathrooms that will deliver the hygiene access to go with vaccination and education necessary to defeat the hepatitis A outbreak. Along with addressing the sanitary conditions of our homeless residents, it is my expectation that finding permanent housing for individuals sheltered will be a significant component of operations. Separately, I want to assure you that the County of San Diego stands prepared and committed to support the San Diego Housing Commission and the City of San Diego in this endeavor. The county will do so by offering at each of the three proposed sprung structures an array of services designed to assist multiple homeless populations, including those already holding vouchers who are on the journey to housing of their own. Finally, as you are aware, the county has committed $25 million and the exploration of 11 county-owned properties for affordable housing, with an additional $500,000 set aside to help creatively lower delivery costs. Separately, our Project One for All effort to bring the severely mentally ill off the streets and into permanent housing with wraparound services is showing great signs of success, and your agency is our strongest and best partner to date in that endeavor. Thank you for your support. Chairman Ratassin, I promise we won't lose our focus on permanent housing, but this is the right decision for today. I urge the Board of Commissioners' approval. Thank you, Supervisor Ron Roberts.
Coming here and sharing that the comments of Supervisor Roberts with us this morning. Up next, I'd like to call up Mr. Deacon Vargas, and ceding time to Deacon Vargas is Matt Knuth and Bill Bolstead. Deacon Vargas, welcome, sir.
Good morning, Chairman Ratassin and Commissioners. It's a pleasure to address you this morning on this very critical issue. Our community is in the midst, as we know, and as has been said, several public crises that demand immediate attention. Whether it is the crisis of homelessness, where we have seen a major increase in the number of unsheltered people on our streets, or the recent public health crisis caused by the outbreak of hepatitis A, which has infected over 500 individuals and claimed the lives of 20, this situation on our streets needs to be addressed immediately. The erection of these temporary bridge shelters is a necessary first step. By bringing people in from the streets, we can provide them a safe, clean, and sanitary place to rest, recover, and begin the process of ending their homelessness by providing them the services that they so desperately need. For those already matched to a voucher, it will give them an alternative to being on the streets and to waiting on the streets while they and their service provider search for permanent solutions and permanent housing. And on that note, Father Joe's Villages well understands the need for permanent housing and that the true end to ending someone's homelessness is that permanent housing. It is for that reason that we have chosen to focus our efforts on producing more affordable and permanent supportive housing for those on the streets. In the meantime, the situation on the ground today requires immediate action. That is the reason we support this immediate and intermediate step and agree to operate one of the temporary bridge shelters on our own property. And so for the sake of those on our streets, we urge you to vote yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Deacon Vargas. Up next is Pat Kilkenny. And Pat, following Pat will be Martha Welch.
Morning. Morning. My name is Pat Kilkenny. I represent Dan Shea, Peter Seiler, and a working group that has done a lot of work over the last year and a half on discussing fact-based research on the homeless. And we've concluded a number of things. Housing First certainly is what we'd be in supportive of, but we have immediate problems right now. Our group has raised $2.5 million plus to support that initiative. Peter Seiler has given a gift of that amount. I think he prefers it to be anonymous, but I don't prefer that it be anonymous.
It's no longer anonymous.
Yeah. And the Lucky Duck Foundation, which my wife and I founded about 8 or 10 years ago to support local charities, has given a number of gifts to the homeless, particularly Father Joe's, and supported a number of other local charities, which we, going forward, we match all the money raised. So we intend on hopefully giving as much as $2 million the next year on ancillary needs. Public-private partnerships can be quite powerful. So like David Malcolm, Jim Vargas, and others have said, we're in support of the Temporary Bridge Shelter Program. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kilkenny, and we appreciate what you guys are doing from the private sector. Martha Welch?
Martha, I'm in favor of this, but I have a couple of questions. These units you're building are studios, one bedroom. That's all you did. You don't tell that. Last year we had the same meeting, and Jeff told us we didn't build the tents last year. So what happened to the money? You promised them, and how will you be, this year will you do it? I don't know. Because last year we had a big meeting, and everybody came up and talked about this, and we didn't do it. He said 15. He stopped it. So where did the money go? I don't know. You promised money to us, and the mayor had money to us, and where did it go? I don't know. So how can I trust you to do it this year? I don't know. Because you didn't do it last year. You said you're going to put the tents, and it didn't happen. I know this. He just said it himself right now. He stopped in to 15. What happens with the, you know, how can I trust you to do it again? That's what I'm asking you. And all these units, what are they, studios or bedrooms? We don't know. You don't tell us. What about families? I don't know.
Thank you, Ms. Welsh. Michael McConnell. Now we're taking speakers in opposition to the item before us today. And up next will be Amy Denhart.
So while I'm speaking in opposition to this plan, it's this plan as proposed. It's not the plan of helping people experiencing homelessness that I'm opposed to. It was mentioned that stable housing is the foundation on which people build their lives. Anybody that thinks these jumbo tents are that foundation or a step to that foundation are misinformed at best. As I've traveled across the country over the last 5 years and I've looked at high-performing communities, I've never seen a plan like this move forward. A plan of jumbo tents, a plan of $1,300 a bed per person per month shelter beds, $5,000 a month per family per month shelter beds in a jumbo tent ever reduce homelessness in a community. I see no services. I see no plan. I see no MOU from the county for services that they're talking about. I see a worst-in-class Band-Aid at best. I see no strategy. And while I respect the fact that this is the mayor's proposal that you're supporting to move forward, it is the responsibility of the Housing Commission to support real solutions to homelessness like you've done in the past and not waver on that under a political crisis driven by a public health crisis. Don't let hepatitis A, don't let the fact that businesses are suffering on downtown streets drive you to make poor investments that could possibly just as easily perpetuate homelessness as solve it. While the mayor has no strategy, has no plan, this appears to be a silo at best. There's no alignment with the community plan, as you've heard. At best, it's loosely aligned with community standards in language, but not in action. I've seen no plan from the providers on how they're actually going to do any of these things that have been proposed. How you can approve $6.5 million with no plan and no strategy is beyond me. There seems to be losers here. And the losers to me seem like they're the taxpayers and possibly even the homeless people themselves who are once it begin going to be delivered a Band-Aid while there's talk of real solutions. We cannot just continue to say we want real solutions, we want permanent housing, but fund Band-Aids over and over and over. And not only Band-Aids, but Band-Aids with no plan, no strategy, and nothing else behind it. So I urge you to certainly move forward solutions, including temporary solutions that provide sanitation, but to do so in a much more strategic fashion and push real solutions with a plan forward. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, Mr. McConnell. Amy Denhart, followed by Suzanne Morse.
Hello, good morning. My name is Amy Denhart. I am the director of Funders Together to End Homelessness. Funders Together is a group of public and private foundations and philanthropists, and we fund projects to end homelessness that are systemic and long-term and housing first focused. We applaud the Housing Commission for your Housing First San Diego plan and for your successful Housing Our Heroes program that we have seen house 1,000 veterans who are previously homeless in less than 18 months. And the reason that has been so successful and what we've been talking about today is because of permanent housing. And so that is why at Funders Together, we are very concerned about the proposal to move $6.5 million from permanent housing into the temporary shelters. We see that there, that the city is possibly going to backfill these funds, but we want to make sure that that is actually going to happen, and we encourage you to identify those funds and write that possibly into the MOU with the city. The other thing we're concerned about is outcomes, and we applaud the Housing Commission for setting standards for fiscal year 2019. We would like to see outcomes into permanent housing for fiscal year 2018. So we encourage you to include that in your contracts with these providers. So thank you for these, for your consideration, and I'm available for questions later.
Thank you, Ms. Denhart. We appreciate your comments this morning, and we appreciate the work that you guys are doing as well in this arena. Suzanne Morse, followed by Colleen Dietzel.
The reason that I'm opposed to this is since January, I work and advocate for violence against women. You have an objective here, offer a safe place for men, women, and children experiencing homelessness. Providing mega tents will not do that objective. It is well known that the highest occurrence of sexual assaults right now is in East Village. I can show you the stats on that. There has been sexual assaults within shelters. Women and tents, and especially tents, throwing women in with men does not work. I don't know how to tell you that. First of all, several statistics. 85% of women that are homeless are fleeing domestic abuse. So what are you doing putting them in with men so that they can be sexually assaulted? It does not make sense. The second thing is, you know as well as us that the military has a big, big sexual assault problem. Many of the women veterans on the street are on the street because they were sexually assaulted, and they reported it to the military, and the military gave them, in return, a personality disorder discharge, and now they cannot get a job. You are going to put them in a veteran's tent with men? I'm going to tell you right now, the women are not going to want to do this. And then you're going to blame them because they do not want to do it. You need to provide safe places where they can lock themselves in and protect themselves, at least in a tent or something other than thrown in with a bunch of people in a mega tent. This solution is like telling a breast cancer patient that you're going to put a Band-Aid on her breasts.
Thank you, Ms. Morse. Colleen Dietzel, followed by Ms. Daniel Beeman. Colleen. Danielle Beeman.
Thank you very much. I'm appreciative of your concern. It's been a long time coming. When I ran for city council here 20 years ago, District 3, this district here, there wasn't much of a homelessness issue. Maybe 100, maybe a few hundred. Now, tens of thousands in the county, many thousand here just in the downtown District 3 area. And this is nowhere near solving this. In fact, really what this is a project that the county should be doing because they're the health and welfare provider. And more or less, we keep on running back to hepatitis A. And that's why we're doing this. You are in charge to provide housing, permanent housing, according to your mission, for low income, very low income people that need housing. This is not going to provide that. This is going to provide, like they've said, a Band-Aid or a temporary situation. We have it contracted for 7 months. That equals out to me to $1 million a month. Just some simple math. Yet we're not developing, and I'm not sure about what Mr. Malcolm said, because the facts are hard to find. even on your website, to find really what's going on in numbers. A lot of pretty pictures and videos, but not the breakdown in numbers with Ms. Rhodes tried to crank out here. We need housing. And we need to own housing. Because if we have a climate action plan, we cannot do the climate action plan if we cannot control the energy. And if you don't own the housing, you cannot control the energy use and even transportation. So we need to back off and we need to rethink. We need to help the homeless. That's true. I don't think that is much of your problem. I think that's the city's problem. I think that's the county's problem. And I think that's the state's problem. And I don't understand why we don't have $4 million coming from the county and $2 million coming from the state to do this. And maybe $1 million from us.
Please wrap up your comments, Mr. Beeman.
So I think we really need to look into what we're doing here. I would like to know also, does the contingency fund, is that on top of the $6.5 million or is that included in it? And then the other thing that I would like to know is how are these things going to be done and who's going to be in charge and manage a lot of these things?
Mr. Beeman, your time is up. I'm going to encourage you to get with staff after the meeting and you get your answers to your questions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Martha Sullivan.
And as I mentioned, I believe Ms. Dietzel ceded her time to me.
Yes, ma'am.
So how much time do I have?
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
So we're down to a minute and a half?
You have three
each
minutes.
Person?
You have, yes, ma'am.
And do I get Colleen time as well?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
So do I get 6 minutes?
No, I'll give you 4 minutes.
Okay. Again, I'm Martha Sullivan. I'm with Women Occupy San Diego. I see that people are going to be allowed to stay in these tents for 120 days. Where's the housing? Where's the housing they're going to go into? I can tell you from personal experience, there is none now for people to go into. We work with unsheltered people every day trying to find housing for them. It is not there. The reason why it took 18 months instead of a year to get 1,000 veterans into housing is because the housing is not there. The private sector isn't providing it. We have a 2% vacancy rate. And landlords have their pick of tenants. So where are people going to go after 120 days? They're going to be back out on the streets. So what's the point of this? What is the point of this? You're offering 700 beds to 3,200 unsheltered San Diegans at least, who will have it for 120 days. And then they'll be back on the streets. So where's the housing? Is that in your performance matrix? Is that in your performance metrics for this plan? How can you limit people to 120 days when you don't have any housing? It's time for this city and this commission to pay the bill for eliminating, for replacing 10,000 units of low-income housing since 2010 with market rate and luxury development. This is the bill that's come due. It's time to pay it. We need to activate the city's designated mass emergency shelter at Qualcomm Stadium and let any unsheltered San Diegans who want to go there to have a safe place to camp or stay in their vehicle without being ticketed and arrested and having their vehicle impounded and their pets confiscated. They get to stay there until this city and county can provide a home for them.
our homeless population is less than 0.5% of our county population. Even if you double the point in time count. The fact that we cannot care for less than 0.5% of our county population who have chronic illness and disabilities of a physical and a mental psychiatric nature is why San Diego is being called the next Flint and why we are now featured in international and national press as a failed state, basically. This is not the answer. As Suzanne said, it's not safe. It's not safe for the victims of domestic abuse. It's not safe for the victims of sexual assault. You're going to compound their trauma.
Your time is up.
Activate Qualcomm and pay the bill.
Thank you for your comments. Tom Tyson.
Thank you.
Did I spell it? Did I pronounce that right?
Pronounced it correctly.
Is that okay?
And I have time ceded from Ms. Seaborg.
Yes,
too.
Sir.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Tom Tyson. I am the former board president of the Regional Task Force on the Homeless. As Rick, Jeff, and Melissa will tell you, I have been a strong supporter of the Housing Commission's effort to focus on housing first and on permanent supportive housing. Item 100 raises the question of whether San Diego Housing Commission's priorities are going to continue to be its leadership on permanent housing and housing first, or whether we're going to fall back into the failed approach of warehousing our homeless in tents. All the stuff you hear about bridge housing and all these great programs, that is nothing more than an attempt to put lipstick on a pig. If you do not have housing, you have a bridge that leads nowhere. The most important thing, as every person has talked, including the proponents of the proposal, is to have housing, to generate housing. That's where our focus should be. That's where the Housing Commission focus should be. Not on bridge housing. You look at what's going on here, and you look at the experience of the bridge housing they had at St. Vincent's a couple of years ago with the city proposal. That's the same type of thing. You have bridge housing, no place to put people. Bridge housing for 120 days doesn't work. You're spending $1,300 a month per person to keep them in bridge housing. For $1,300 a month per person, we can house people. We should be housing people. That's just a waste of that money not being used effectively. If you look at David Alvarez, he put out a tweet yesterday saying, warehousing people in tents with zero accountability is a bridge to nowhere. The reason there is no accountability, the reason there are no standards for using bridge housing in the way we intend to be using bridge housing is that we're trying to do something it is not intended to do. It is not intended to be a stopgap measure until we find housing. It's intended to help people get into housing when the housing is available. The first and most important priority should be housing. One final comment, Mr. Chairman. If you look at the guts of the proposal, I'm quoting now from the staff report, to mitigate the loss of these funds, the Housing Commission intends to seek funds from other sources, including potentially the successor agency, that we might be able to proceed with our supportive housing programs in a timely fashion. I respectfully suggest that is ass backwards. Excuse the language, okay? We are doing that wrong. The priority should be permanent supportive housing, and we should be going to the successor agency, and I'm glad we're looking to the successor agency, but we should be going to the successor agency to ask for funds to help fund the tent. The priority has to continue to be permanent supportive housing, and if we do anything different, we are making a mistake. This fundamentally deals with what is the mission of the Housing Commission, what is your priority, permanent supportive housing or tents. This is a Housing Commission, not San Diego KOA. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Tyson. Rick Bates, followed by Stephen Russell.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Rick Bates. I am with Build Better San Diego. Is there a clock or?
Yes, sir. I've got it right here.
How much time do I have, sir?
I'm going to give you a minute and a half.
Thank you so much. So, Rick Bates with Build Better San Diego, also researcher for Unite Your Local 30. We are a member organization of Build Better San Diego. So there's just two points I want to try and make really quickly. One is with regard to the reallocation of funds from the permanent, the Housing First, the Permanent Supportive Housing Fund, into the temporary bridge shelter program. Our concern is that has staff or anyone really exhausted all means of revenue sources when they're looking for these types of funds? And I know that we got $5 million, I think, in the general fund that was set aside for a special election, which isn't going to happen. Has that been considered? The problem is that we need permanent supportive housing, and we need that as much as we need the shelters. We need something for them to exit into. And if there is no plan or strategy for that, then I'm not sure what we're doing. I understand that the city is saying that they're going to make that back up and put it back into the fund, but that's all that I saw. I don't see where there is a plan for that. I don't see what the strategy for that is. So that's a concern. The other thing is with regard to recidivism, and I do got a couple numbers I just want to throw out there that I think is important for us to keep in mind. We believe that each program in our region should be responsible for pulling their own weight in relation to maintaining low levels of recidivism. One example we think is an attainable goal is 15% or less of exited households return to the shelter. Another goal is for 5% or less of households with permanent housing exits return to the shelter. We believe that since the majority of the beds should be bridge housing, meaning individuals will already have rental assistance in hand, exiting a percentage like 65% is recommended of folks to permanent housing each year is reasonable. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bates. Got 2 minutes there, by the way. Mr. Stephen Russell, followed by Mr. Tom Lemon.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Commissioners. My name is Stephen Russell.
Let me, before you make your comments, Mr. Yes, Russell, just to say that on the issue of the funding and the reserves that the Housing Commission was reportedly have, I'd like to encourage everybody to take a look at the letter to the editor that's been submitted by Mr. Russell, who really addresses this very complicated issue in a very concise and clear manner on exactly how that works. And I appreciate you doing that. I just want to make sure that people understand that. You have the floor, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Chair and Honorable Commissioners. I'm here to speak on behalf of the San Diego Housing Federation, and we do support the emergency efforts made for folks who are essentially economic refugees in our city. I mean, this is long overdue and is a part of our daily lives as we walk the streets. But it's also important to remember that this is supposed to be bridge housing. And we do take exception to taking funds that are intended for permanent supportive housing for the use of temporary shelters. Without permanent housing, this isn't really a bridge, but like refugee camps around the world, risks turning into some kind of permanent housing, which is substandard. So we encourage you to look for necessary funds at places such as the county. It's been abundantly clear that this is a public health issue, and they have a responsibility there. And it also highlights the greater need for more funds for permanent supportive housing, not less. The cure for homelessness are homes. And we need to continue to find more funding for that. Taking funding for permanent housing for temporary use is like eating our seed corn. And so I encourage you to look for other sources for this funding. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Russell. Appreciate your comments, sir. Mr. Tom Lemon. Welcome, sir.
Good morning. Tom Lemon, San Diego Building Trades, also a member of the Build Better Coalition, Build Better San Diego Coalition. Longtime San Diegan thinking about homelessness. I've seen it my whole life. I'm that guy that's used to seeing homes, the homeless, and grateful that they get to go in tents. That's not enough. Putting folks in tents, spending money to put folks in tents, doesn't get us to permanent supportive housing. Permanent supportive housing is what San Diego needs. If you're going to put them in tents, they should be, what you're doing there should have some stuff that actually has a matrix that shows that we're moving them into somewhere else, some place that creates a place to stay. I mean, where you can build a family. So I didn't come prepared for a lot of comments. Obviously, I'm not a big fan of tents today because I know the solution is actually putting people in homes. And I know that those homes should be built with prevailing wage that gives the people who actually build the buildings an opportunity to afford to buy homes. So, to ask, think this tent thing through, and don't just hand out the money to people to run tents, because that doesn't, you know, create a metrics that at the end of the day will show whether you're doing something that's working or not. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lemon. Appreciate your comments. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the public testimony that we have, the request to speak. I'd like to ask Mr. David Graham, representing the mayor of San Diego, to address the issue of the replacement funding that's been brought up in testimony today. Mr. Graham, welcome, sir.
Thank you very much, Chair Tassin. David Graham, Deputy Chief Operating Officer for the City of San Diego, and I'm also the designee for the Housing Successor and Successor Agency. The former Redevelopment Agency has now become the Successor Agency and Housing Successor. So we've been working very closely with the Housing Commission for quite some time now on these Notice of Funding Availabilities, the NOFA that has been mentioned. Housing Commission has done a NOFA. The City has done a Notice of Funding Availability using low and moderate housing funds that were left over from the former Redevelopment Agency. To date, since the end of redevelopment, the city, through these programs, has been able to deliver about 1,500 affordable housing units. And we've really tried to coordinate on projects that are in the Housing Commission's pipeline, as well as those that we can offer to others, to really get units on the ground quickly. And as a part of the most recent discussions on this particular program, the city has committed to bring forward replacement funding from the low mod housing fund for any projects that otherwise would not have received funding because of this diversion of funding. So basically, we've already identified several projects. When the Housing Commission comes forward to the City Council with a recommendation on a particular project, we would recommend gap funding from the low mod housing fund. Basically, this is getting projects on the ground, up and running, built quicker for permanent supportive housing, for permanent affordable housing, to address our housing needs.
Missing your name there, sir. Welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate your efforts to include me. And my name is Ellis Rose. I'm here on behalf of Conscience San Diego because somebody in the city needs to have one in regards to this issue. And I'm sure that many of you know the saying, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. With all due respect, I am here to say today that perhaps unwittingly, you are becoming part of the problem. One way is by institutionalizing only three alternatives for bridge housing and providing no opportunity for additional lower-cost alternatives to be considered now or in the future. Second, by failing to publicly commit to the purpose of bridge housing within Housing First so that everyone, including the public, understands that it is a temporary purpose and that the need for and commitment to permanent housing is the solution. Three, by reallocating almost $7.2 million, including $650,000 for contingency fund from permanent housing to the shelter program agreements. This is wrong for the present and a slippery slope for the future. Four, by failing to set up and publicize a public report and review process. And five, by lacking more aggressive and or vigorous affordable permanent housing approach, I urge you to be part of the solution by addressing these very real issues.
Appreciate your comments, Mr. Rose. At this point, I'll close the public testimony part of the hearing. Commissioners, I'll open it up for discussion. Yes, ma'am. Then why don't you just come on up and make comments and introduce yourself, please. I'm sorry if I overseen. I thought I'd picked up everybody.
Hello. Hi, Catherine Rhodes, and I wanted to just mention, you know, the housing element states that San Diego Housing Commission, the city's DFSD, and Civic San Diego are responsible for preservation of affordable housing units. 10,000 affordable housing units and SROs were destroyed in 6 years. You guys are literally responsible for that, but you don't take responsibility because you don't think it's actually your job. I think that should change. I'm actually very positive about the tents, mainly because when you shut down the tents, the number of homeless people dying on the street more than doubled. For example, 2014, there was 54 deaths, 2015, 93 deaths, 2016, 117 deaths. Also on Sunday, the Sunday, November 6, 3 p.m., the Rescue Mission will be having their vigil for how many homeless died this year. We don't know yet. to the County Administration Center. Also that, you know, another great solution would be to have your homeless center, wherever you're going to have this center, at the MT Chargers Park on Murphy Canyon Road. You could actually use that property. You know, it's like 25 acres. It has 15 full-time equivalent staff doing that, and it's going to be empty until the November vote. So anyway, I very much think you should not. What you should do is, because you, not David Graham here at the city, but you guys are in charge of the assessor agency and the low moderate income housing fund, as it's shown in council policy. You guys don't take ownership of it. So what I would recommend that you do, because there is $41 million in cash. Why is there $41 million in cash in the low moderate income housing fund, you know, 7 years after redevelopment ended? It's because you're hoarding the cash. There's also $109 million in the successor agency in cash. It belongs to you. So what I would recommend is that you change your recommendation to the city to use only successor agency and low moderate income housing funds and not use any funding related to the San Diego Housing Commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rhodes. I appreciate that. Anybody else that I missed wishing to address the commission today? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public testimony portion of the hearing again and open it up for. Let me start off before I go to you, Commissioner Benvenuto. We're dealing with a huge societal problem. This isn't an issue that this commission wishes to step forward with. This isn't our preferred approach. When you're dealing with a huge societal problem, you need to explore all options, all alternatives. The crisis is on the street today. For us to ignore what's being requested from us to be able to, as one alternative, while we pursue all others, I don't think is a responsible step forward on the part of this commission. So let me just start with that, and I'll turn it over to Commissioner Benvenuto for her comments.
Thank you, Chair. I want to say first that I really appreciate the flexibility and the urgency that staff has come to this issue with. I think the coordination with the city to produce a solution that maintains our focus on the long-term answer is to be commended, so thank you for bringing this forward today. I also want to give some credit to the private entities, businesses, and foundations that are supporting this financially and otherwise. I want to make sure they're given some credit. And while I agree with the comments that are calling for the additional long-term and permanent units, I want to say, too, that I think this highlight brings an opportunity for us, or this crisis brings an opportunity for us to look at the challenges to bring those long-term units to market. Certainly, we are going to focus on the homeless and the affiliate health urgency issue that's before us right now, but we can also use this as an opportunity to look at some additional solutions to bring more units to market in the long run. And I should have brought this up in the staff question segment, so I apologize. But I found that the lack of performance outcomes until 2018 seemed out of character with our traditional contracting processes. Is there? Can somebody just give me a little bit of insight into that decision, please?
So when we first began discussion with the providers, we did originally expect to come up with some permanent supportive housing exits. But as we had our discussions over the course of a number of weeks, we came to realize that what the regional task force had concluded about outcomes for this new bridge concept, which, again, is new to San Diego, we realized that metrics really should be established when there is actual data available. So we determined that for a minimal amount of time, 20 weeks, that there would be time for us to collect some of that data, also to allow for the programs to become established at each of these tents, and then we'd bring in an expert to come in and really evaluate the programs, and in that evaluation come up with what adjustments should be made to make them truly housing first, true bridge housing tents, and also to come up with what outcomes should be expected. It seemed that if we came up with outcomes at the very beginning, at the start of it, they would really be guesstimates at best and probably artificially high or artificially low.
Okay. How long are we going to give that independent evaluator to come up with some data of outcomes?
We have a schedule right here for you.
Thank you. I wasn't as high off the top of our head.
So the evaluation will happen in month 5. We'll review the recommendations at month 6 and work with the providers to develop their action plans in month 7 for implementation starting in fiscal year 19.
And I did see that, so those outcomes are going to be reliant then on everybody using 100% of the time the data entry and the CES system. So I did see that we are calling that out early and clearly in the contract, so I appreciate that. But I want to make sure that we are maintaining an eye to that, and perhaps that's an issue that we could address on a monthly basis here, just kind of keeping an eye and monitoring those numbers and the inputs.
Absolutely, and I would just add that the contracts are also very explicit as to cooperating with the consultant and making the adjustments that are recommended, and our providers have all been very willing to do that. They're behind it.
Any other questions from the commissioners? Commissioner Moraga?
I'd like to build on Commissioner Benvenuto's comments. There is the 5-month performance evaluation, but there also is the monthly reports. I'd like to request that those come to council or come to commission as an informational item. So we are holding ourselves accountable, the public can hold us accountable, and we can hold our providers accountable. If there's not specific metrics, at least we can have those reports where we can have discussion around them. So I think that's at least a step in the right direction.
We will happily do that for you.
Okay. Any other comments? I want to invite, I see Amy from the Alpha Project here or VVSD. If they want, we heard from Father Joe's Villages. Any comments that you want to make that hasn't been made today? I would welcome you to make those comments now. It's your time.
I'd like to make a couple comments because whenever we hear,
would you just say your name, Amy?
Oh, Amy Gagne, I'm Chief Operating Officer for the Alpha Project. This year, I just want to stress, and a lot of people aren't aware because they're not educated in this field at all, so we are the professionals in this field. I think I'm going to speak a little bit on behalf of the providers as well. When you haven't provided a service to a person before, it's easy to go around and say, well, this works, but that doesn't work, and we can stick with this, and we can only stick with that. In terms of the coordinated entry system piece, I'm really involved in the coordinated entry part. And to have the resources already connected to the clients with the housing subsidy is so different than what we were doing before. So we anticipate quickly moving people out. It's not 700 people going to sit around for 120 days. That's not our intention. As providers, we want them to move into permanent housing. All three of our organizations are housing first organizations. We just built a 203-unit Alpha Square downtown, which you guys are aware of. We're building another one breaking ground in December for veterans. And so I just want everybody to understand that there is a big difference this year. We will see movement. You will get monthly reports from us. And we have high expectations of ourselves as well. And we're going to bring in a lot more partnerships with that. So there's going to be a lot of resources involved. We've already got the list of those people matched or housing ready. And so those priorities are really going to make a difference this year. And I just want to say we're obviously really supportive of it. We've been thankful for the Housing Commission's flexibility in the city. And we anticipate using all those initiatives that are out there to help get these people out. The double deposits, the incentive funds, everything that you guys have brought forward. And we are utilizing that a lot. We're finding success in it as well. We've served over 200 people in rapid rehousing just over the last year. So I can assure you, and I'll talk for me, that we will succeed in this project and you're going to see a big difference in their outcomes.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Commissioners, any other questions, any other thoughts? Let's not lose sight of the fact that was brought up in the testimony today that this is also that the private sector has been stepping up. The community at large here is calling for a solution, be it a bridge solution now. And so it's I don't believe that we can ignore that call. We are in a crisis mode here, and the commission, I believe, needs to step up right now and support this. So with any other thoughts on that, I'll entertain a motion. I have a motion by Commissioner Cerdy, second by Commissioner Benvenuto. Any further discussion on this item? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Ms. Peterman, Mr. Davis, thank you for your staff report today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your testimony today. I know this is a controversial issue. There's a lot of moving parts to it. It's a complicated issue, but I believe that we've done the right thing here today. With that, the meeting is now adjourned.